This is Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report. On today's show, we have Randy Abrams. Hi, Randy. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Matt. It's a pleasure to be back again.
You know, recently, the International Monetary Fund, IMF, confirmed that it has been hit by hackers, becoming the latest of a big-name security breaches recently. Can you tell us a little bit more about this attack?
You want the conspiracy theory or what I know about it?
How about both?
Okay, well, let's start with the conspiracy theory. The IMF has recently been in the news big time because their leader was arrested for allegedly sexually assaulting a hotel maid. And that's not the kind of attention that IMF wants.
Right.
And if you make the news about we've been hacked but don't provide any details about the hack, it doesn't actually have to have occurred. You know, kind of like wag the dog.
Right.
So, given the lack of details on this hacking, the conspiracy theory would say the hack never happened. They just wanted to deflect attention from the sex scandal.
Right, exactly. Have the news point to something else.
Which was really fun to think up, and I probably could have a career working for the National Enquirer.
Exactly.
However, the fact of the internet and the world is that the IMF is a very attractive target, and I don't expect it would be a very easy target to compromise either, because they know that what they've got's of exceptional value.
Exactly. I mean, was there anything specific, I guess, that we know that the hackers gained access to?
You know, the IMF isn't really saying what may or may not have been compromised. They just referred to the attack as sophisticated and serious, which, if it wasn't a sophisticated attack, they would really have some more significant problems.
Right. And
any attack against an organization like that is serious, because basically, if you can get into their servers and get the information they have, you've got a huge edge on things like foreign exchange trading.
Right.
You know, buying and selling money, things that probably are going to affect different stock prices. So, you know, this is an organization that doesn't have many people that wouldn't be interested in what they've got.
Right, exactly. Now, was there any specifics of how the attackers gained access? Was it through emails or some other way?
You know, there's been some speculation it could have been spear phishing, and that would sound like a very likely approach. Getting through security can be a real hassle. I'm sure they've got a lot better security than TSA, but it's probably a lot easier to get through TSA than through the IMF's firewalls and other security protocols. However, if you can get to someone on the inside and get them to install malicious software, which really doesn't seem to be that difficult relative to other types of attacks, you can get a lot of information. And one of the few things the IMF spokesperson did say or seemed to indicate was that they had noticed some suspicious file transfers. Now, they aren't saying if the content of the transfers was confidential or if the website IP addresses the files were going to were suspicious or, you know, what it was that made it suspicious. But evidently, it was suspicious enough and worrying enough that the World Bank severed their internet connection to the IMF temporarily.
Right. You know, I mean, this is just one in a long list of very, very, you know, big, well-known name organizations that have been attacked. I mean, what is there a larger lesson that needs to be learned here? And I guess, why does it seem like the attackers are having such an easy time infiltrating these large organizations?
Well, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that by and large they're having an easy time. Yeah, Sony, they're having a really easy time. All you have to do is figure out a SQL injection attack, and it doesn't take a high-level hacker. To get into the IMF, I don't know that I would characterize that as easy. But the fact is, it's a lot easier to tear something down than to build it. And the same goes for security. It's a lot easier to find a chink in the security armor than it is to build bulletproof armor.
Right.
So, you know, every significant company on the web, and even relatively small companies and individuals are under attack. And if you're a big company and you have stuff of value, which pretty much by default, if you're a big company, you do, you're under attack 24/7. And you're deflecting most of those attacks if your security software and personnel are up to snuff. But when you get a hacker that's well-funded, very highly knowledgeable, and determined, they're going to be able to find some holes in your defenses and start to penetrate your organization. How far they get is going to depend on the number of factors, and they pretty much all boil down to defense in depth. How good are your defenses? So it's not enough to rely upon intrusion prevention software and processes. You've got to have intrusion detection. You have to assume, okay, they are going to get by, and look at what are the kinds of activities that they can perform if they get by, and you monitor those. So in the case of an IMF, just a few months ago, Oak Ridge National Laboratories had detected an attack and stopped it after just a few megabytes of data were exfiltrated. So, that's intrusion detection at work. So, if you're out there on the web and you've got stuff that people want, which is pretty much everybody, you need to have some defenses. And if you're a big company, you've got more expensive toys or more expensive data, right, you got to put a lot more into defending it.
Well, Randy, as always, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us further on this topic. If you want additional details, the ESET research team has blogged on this topic, so you can visit the ESET threat blog at ESET.com for additional information. You can also follow and like ESET on Facebook for the latest news. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report.